And welcome back to Coast as we talk about your subconscious power, your ability to do amazing things. Kimberly Friedmutter with us, and we'll be back with you and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our special guest, Kimberly Friedmutter with us, subconscious power. We'll take your calls this hour as well. This is an amazing ability to do incredible things once you get into the mode, isn't it, Kimberly?
It really is, and it really is making your life so much easier. If you really want to just fine-tune and streamline and align and get with it, this is the way.
Is this something we were born with, or is this something we develop?
Well, we're born with the capacity, and then we develop the ability to really pay attention to it. Because if you have the capacity, just again, back to that machine on your desk, and you don't plug it in and you don't utilize it, yes, you have it, but you're not taking full advantage of it.
Interesting take. Why are so many people, as you say, sensitive about judgment, but you say it's okay to be sensitive? How come?
Well, you know, look, it's not the same thing as, you know, you don't look great in those pants or that's not the right color for you. It's not that sort of judgment. Our very survival depends on our judgment. One of my favorite characters in life is Judge Judy. So, you know, I write about her in the book a lot. And that's simply because she really cuts to the core of what it is. And the show and its popularity is really based on the fact that we get to take this ride in, did we exercise good judgment or not? Your very first core judgment when you're born to the time that you transition is, am I safe? A judgment of survival. Is this berry okay, or is it poisonous? Is this person okay, or are they dangerous? And so your survival skills are based on your subconscious and the knowledge, that inherent knowledge that you have of, is this good for me or not? When you shut that down, you're in trouble. And so many times, look at our online life. Look at how we now have just opened up our doors to anyone and anything when it comes to people coming into our life. Oh, you know, they come as a friend, all of this, maybe not. You know, and your sense of judgment, look at Gavin DeBecker, who was the author and all of it, you know, the consultant and whatnot for security that had the gift of fear. The gift of fear was exactly that, utilizing that tap on the shoulder that says, this is not safe. That is the first and foremost line of defense for your survival.
How important is taking care of yourself physically before you can tap into the subconscious mentally?
So I say tap into it first and then take care of yourself, because here's the thing.
Ah, that's interesting.
Right. So I reverse it. I think get the mind straight and get it aligned, and then the body will follow, because the body is the slow mechanism. The brain is whippity smart and super fast. And so it's so fast that it's hard to keep up with. So the point of keeping the body in line and in that point is, and whatever that is for you, look, some people are super hyper aware of their physical fitness, and they go and go and go, and then, you know, they exhaust themselves. That's not in alignment either. Some people don't do any physical activity. That's not in alignment either. There's that beautiful balance that the subconscious will seek and know. My weight loss folks, once they tap in, the weight starts to fall off, or the weight starts to come on, whatever their issue is, and it simply is following the direction of the mind. It's like the mind is the conductor and the body is the caboose, way in the back.
How old can you use this kind of technique on people? How young, how old?
So my dad is 90.
My mom will be 90 next month.
Oh, fantastic.
Is that amazing?
Congratulations. Yeah, it's amazing. And he is just now starting. He's been fairly intuitive during his life, but they didn't call it that back then. And he's really, really, really enjoying the process. And so it isn't ever too late. Look, if you have a brain, you're in the game. You know, there are some people that would be like, well, I don't know about all this subconscious stuff, you know, and you could possibly hear, you know, an elder say that or someone. And you say, well, you know, you might not believe in dinosaurs either, but it is really well studied. It is really scientific, and it does really exist. So you can refute anything you want, but the fact is the science supports it 100%.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Joe in the Bronx to get started. Go ahead, Joe.
How are you?
Good.
Good show tonight. Kimberly, my father's cousin was Cuz D'Amato, who legally adopted Mike Tyson when he was 13 and taught about a box.
Oh, great coach.
Yeah. Specifically, I wanted to ask you about procrastination. What causes procrastination, and why are we such a slave to it?
Oh my goodness, right? And thank you for noticing. I have a technique in the book called Apathy to Action, and that procrastination literally can kill you. Procrastinating to take care of yourself, procrastinating to go for what you want. It really is. I feel like it's a demon in the weeds. I really do. And you're so right that it gets us. That is the amount of slack, if you were catching us earlier, that amount of slack that we allow ourselves is to the same degree of the unhappiness we experience. And I will tell you, sometimes it can be physical. It can be that, you know, you're so addicted to sugars and carbs and things like that, that you're just so unable to budge, you know, that it just feels like it's difficult to get off the couch. There's a lot of that. Sometimes it can be the people that you're hanging out with, that, you know, if nobody's doing anything, I'm in good company because I'm part of the pack. It can be many, many things. But in the book, I do broach that failure to launch and that inability to move forward and actually take those first steps is a big kicker. And I do address that for that very reason. So astute of you. Thank you.
What are hypnotic hacks?
Hypnotic hacks are exercises. You know, everything's a hack now. That's what we're calling.
Okay.
Anything that, you know, it's the 3-second abs of your brain.
It works, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Little exercises, little memory exercises, things like that.
Well, and I keep them short so that people can remember them. My biggest dream is for this to be the Bible, that you just kind of, you know, you get the exercise or the hack in this case, and you just remember it. It's so simple. It's really super common sense things when you look at it. And, of course, anything that you're supposed to get looks easy to you because you're supposed to get it, right? And so I keep them short. I keep them simple. They're easy to digest, super easy to use. You don't have to carry the book around with you. Once you use it and you feel the difference, that difference is made. And then if you want to go back to it, it's super easy to remember.
Kimberly, are you a believer in the afterlife?
I am. And I am because of my clients. I was raised in the Bible Belt. I was raised in Texas as a Methodist Christian person. And I just see enough of it in my practice with past life regression and things like that. I do believe that there's a lot of different systems working out there. I can't tell you which one I think is necessarily right, because I think they all sound great. But there's talk about a strong convincer is when someone's laying in front of me and they're experiencing a past life regress to a time that they can be very, very, very convincingly detailed about. It's pretty profound, and it changes you in a way and kind of opens your mind to a way that you think, wow, this would be hard to refute.
Absolutely. Next up, Sherry's with us in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I can't believe. I have two things. One is a comment that I was a psychology major in college, and I used my subconscious mind to work on a problem if I cannot come to the answer. For instance, a math problem, I go away from it, and shortly the answer comes to my mind. But I do have a question. When you are almost awake, and you are in like a half-sleep state, you are very vulnerable to suggestion, and people can ask you questions that normally you wouldn't answer. And you don't remember what's going on. If the TV or radio is on, you don't remember what you heard. Is this the same kind of state that a person is in when they are hypnotized?
It certainly is. That is so, so great of you to mention, because that's exactly it. That just when you're phasing into sleep and just when you're phasing out of sleep, that's that magic moment. Now, that being said, I have had clients where they sit and literally their hands crossed behind their heads and they're leaning back, staring straight back at me. And that's hypnosis too for them. I've had clients that fall asleep and they're drooling and they're snoring. I mean, I have fallen asleep in session one time. I hypnotized myself so bad. It was terrible. And I woke myself up with a snore. I have to say, that was not my glory moment, but you can be so entranced that you're literally like that in that condition. And it's a wonderful thing because you feel like you've had a great snooze, but you know, that moment, you can't feel your body, just like the one you're mentioning. You can't feel your body. You know that there's sounds, like you said, on the television or radio, but you can't exactly ascertain what it is specifically. That's that beautiful time. And just to give you a quick little over-the-air exercise, that's the time that before you you go to bed, if you have a quandary, a question, or something you need a solution for, just jot it down on a piece of paper by your bed and leave it there. And by just simply jotting it down, it brings it into consciousness. The fact that the subconscious is now listening and awake and prepared to solve it while you sleep. And then when you wake up, oftentimes you'll have the answer to that solution or to that issue.
A lot of people, Kimberly, when they really feel ready, as you've talked about, that they're in the zone and they just know that there's nothing they could do that will lose. They're just there. They know it's going to work. Is that the power of the subconscious too?
That's it. That is exactly it. You can feel it. It's when the you inside of you is lined up. There's just this synchronicity that happens within yourself.
Well, and you can feel when you're not in it too.
Oh, and very difficult to be like, because now you're shaken. So if you're not in it and you really need to be in it, you're shaken.
And you're chasing it, and that's not good.
Exactly. No, not at all, because that's a conscious exercise. The panic and the fear and the chase of that is conscious, and that is not where it is.
To New Orleans we go. Gigi's with us on the wildcard line. Hi, Gigi.
Hey, Kimberly. How are you?
Hi, honey. Great.
And hey, George.
Hi, Gigi.
So I used to be able to tap into my subconscious very well. I had a dream journal, and I used to be able to, like, interpret them, and I would, you know, I was very good at it. And then, you know, over the past couple of years, it's like I've lost it completely. And I was wondering,
how do you get it back?
How do I get it back? What's going on? Like, I've tried meditating, all of it. Like, I've just changed. I mean, I've had life things that have happened, but I was different, and now my life is different, and it's not in a good way, and I don't like it.
Well, I was going to ask what specifically could have happened or did something specific. It sounds like it was more generalized and like a few things happened, because that is unusual for you to have felt it before, if that's truly what it was, and it sounds like it was. Was there anything that like shocked you out of it, or did you have a traumatic event occur for you?
I had a few traumatic events, and then slowly I just became, I guess more negative.
Well, that can do it. Let me say, so there's a chapter in the book called Getting Out of Drought. And drought is that state of lack. And I will say that when things mount up on you, like it sounds like in your case, when things start to mount up, it can make you an unbeliever. And that unbelieving then becomes the convincer for the fact that it doesn't exist for you anymore. Your subconscious and your subconscious power does not have an expiration date on it, ever. I don't even know that when you transition, there's an expiration date. No one does for that point on. But for now, that getting out of drought is super, super important. There's three types of drought I describe in the book. One is passing drought, which is something happens. I call it hairnado, you know, in the joking aspect of it. You have a bad hair day. You have a fender bender. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, for a day or two throws you off your game a bit and off track. The second one would be lingering drought, which it kind of sounds like you might be in now, Gigi, which is that you know, things just aren't necessarily right. Maybe it's a job loss or a divorce or something like that, but you're going to pull out of it. It's a situational condition. The last would be habitual drought, which it does not sound like you are, and that's the Debbie Downer and the, you know, the Doubting Thomas and all of those aspects of the people that just kind of can't get out of their own way, and you know who you are. But when you're like this, let me just share with you, when you're like this, that subconscious doesn't abandon you ever. It's yours to utilize. So I contend that the plug came out of the wall of that machinery, if you were listening earlier, and you just plug it back in. Why don't you, before you go to bed tonight, why don't you ask your subconscious, because remember, you can request, like even during your dreams, you know, if you see something that you don't understand or know what it is, you can say, come closer so I can see you. You can can talk back to your dreams. A lot of people aren't aware of this, and it does provide a lot of clarity. You know, people will wake up in their, from their dreams that seem so physically real, and maybe you're running from the proverbial bear, and you're sweating, and your heart is racing, and your blood pressure is high, and your body does believe, because remember, it's the caboose, it believes that you've been really running from the bear. That's your subconscious at work. So if you're even having dreams, Gigi, that shows you that you're still fine and intact. So I believe that your situation, and I'm certainly not diagnosing you now, but my guess would be that your situation is just one of those, is that you feel like you've kind of lost your mojo in that department.
Sure. She doesn't sound like that third category that you brought
up. At all. No.
Now, for people who are in that third category, and I know a few,
yes.
How do they pull themselves out of that? Because every day there's that cloud over their head. Every day.
Right. And so sometimes it can be biochemical. And so when I see someone
good
like
point.
That.
Good point. Like bipolar, you mean? Something like that?
Well, biochemical meaning their system. Yeah, exactly. It can be a myriad of things. It can be substance, and by that I don't necessarily mean, you know, that it has to be like a drug substance. It could be the way.
But it could be
works.
Pharmaceutical.
It could be pharmaceutical. It can be the way their body works. It can also be the way that they were taught, that they believe. They watched so much and imprinted so much on their folks that they had a parent that was like that. That's easy to see. But the other thing is that they could just have gotten away with it all of these years. You know, I do see that with the wealthy, and I see it with the children of the wealthy, is that a lot of times their attitude is just they have so many yes people around them that the attitude just, it seems to work for them. Anytime someone has someone chronically or acute that even happened to them, I look at around to see what's feeding that. You know, are they always waiting for the shoe to fall off? Are they always waiting for, you know, the thing? You know, you just know who you are and you know who those people are in your life. You cannot save those people. I urge you, do not go in and try to save them because they will crawl on your back to get out. It's one of those things that they must get themselves out. What you have to do is you have to provide the light or the water or the other way for them to see that they want to be so much like you that they crawl out themselves.
Yeah, that's so important. They have to do it themselves. You can't do it for them.
Right. And I go through all of that in the book because we all have that person in our lives or multiples of those people in our lives. It's a very common thing. And so when you read this chapter, read it with that love and compassion in mind because that's what it takes to get them out of that dark cave.
When people read the book Subconscious Power, what's the one thing, Kimberly, you would like them to really grasp?
I believe the give to get. Because we, look, there's half of us feel like we're not getting enough, and the other half feel like they're giving too much. So, like, take mothers, for example. Mothers are exhausted. Mothers are overtaxed. Mothers are overburdened, overworried, all of these things. And the beauty in this is that they don't have to be. And I really want to provide the backbone for people who feel so exhausted from the give, that they understand that the entitlement to get gives someone else to give.
Explain.
Right. So it really does. Your biggest gift is taking. I mean, people are like, what? Let me connect to that. But the truth is that when you take, that's someone else's give. Otherwise, you're depriving them of the give.
Right.
So it's gotten clogged up. It's like a congested freeway system. It just has gotten clogged up, and we have to really clear that up to get things moving. I feel like that's the first, like, really wow takeaway.
And in hypnotherapy, when you do all this, do you kind of, like, put it together for the individual while they're under hypnosis?
Yes. So we discuss the issue first, or issues. I always say where there's one, there's 10. And so we put together a plan for the issues, and that plan would be, I mean, I can, it's like everything but the kitchen sink. I can put it all in a single session for someone, and they just get it. It's just really magnificent. That's why I was excited about the book, because not everyone has access, not everybody has, you know, geographical access, whatever, and the time. And so this just makes it so easy.
It sure does, Kimberly. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Lee Harris joins me as we talk about messages from Spirit, his work, Energy Speaks. Looking forward to that as well. We are back with our final segment with Kimberly Friedmutter. We're talking about her book, Subconscious Power. And will there be a sequel?
There will be 5 sequels.
Wow.
We'll do subconscious power relationships, subconscious power career, subconscious power, all of the above. Because here's the thing. This is the ground. This is the ground floor starting basics of getting to know and getting to utilize it. When you do, from there on is who can say. It's amazing.
Kimberly, when somebody comes to you as a hypnotherapist, do they generally know that they've got a problem or an issue?
Yes, but here's the funny thing. So the client will come, and then I'll get a call from the spouse saying, hey, while you're in there, could you please, you know,
fix this?
Stop shopping. Could you help him play less golf? I'm a golf widow, you know, all those things. And I joke about it. But the truth is that, yes, they do. They seek me out because there is an issue, or there's an issue of performance where they just want enhancement of some sort, where they really want to go that extra distance.
That's amazing. It's also amazing what you can do with the subconscious mind and the things you can plant in it.
Well, and can I just share this, is that I also had hypnotized, we were talking about the dog and the bull earlier, at 2 separate occasions, nothing to do with the dog and the bull together. But what had happened was a woman came to me wanting to hypnotize her in utero child and to find out when the baby would be born. And we did that to the second to the day that that baby was born, two weeks afterwards. So she was ready for the baby to come, and she just said, when is this baby coming? And so I put her into trance, and through that got to the baby, and the baby declared that it would be 4 p.m. on September 14th, and to the minute that baby was born.
That's amazing.
Further, yeah.
And I bet the two of them are good communicators with each other at this point.
Yes, they probably are. I should check in with them and see about that, because that would be such an interesting part to follow up.
What
an
a
update.
Great update on that. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Eric in Colorado, welcome to the program. Eric, did you get hit by the blizzard yet out there, Eric?
Yeah, we did. You know, I'm up in the mountains, so it... And it really didn't hit that hard where I am, but
that's good. I'm there Saturday for our Beyond Belief tapings in Denver, so I hope we can get in okay.
Yeah, hopefully it clears up by then.
Okay, go ahead,
Kimberly. I wanted to ask you, what do you do when you're trying to think positively with your conscious mind, but you feel that your subconscious is being negative and sabotaging you?
So it probably is reversed, but it feels like it's your subconscious. So your subconscious really is always for your survival. That's the original prime directive for us. You know, we come out hungry and seeking shelter and survivability. And so it's probably the other way around. I would first tap into your subconscious. First, get the book, tap into your subconscious, and you will understand then that that's usually not the problem. The truth is that the world can weigh heavy on us, and it weighs heavy on our conscious mind. And oftentimes we'll let that muddy water feel like it spills over into the clean, pristine water that the subconscious is constantly regenerating. Because remember, the subconscious is a very busy part of you. When you sleep, it's at work. It's, you know, cellular division, immunity. It's all of those things. It knows how to temper the body when the body is starting to go, you know, or slide off that slippery slope of health. So it's always, always acting out. It's always your stenographer, always recording all of the data that's happening to you. You know, when you shop, you drop kind of theory of everything is so busy and all of the input that we take in through our senses. The subconscious does not rest. And so it's always renewed, and it always has this unlimited energy. So I bet it's reversed for you, that consciously you're fatigued and consciously. So if your labs are all in order and your physical body is in order, I would venture to say that the consciousness part of you has just gotten depleted.
Okay. Any follow-up there, Eric?
No, thank you. Thanks
okay,
for the
my friend.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Be well. Next up, let's go to Steve in Seattle. First-time caller. Steven, you're on with Kimberly.
Well, thank you for the call.
Sure thing.
Whatever. Hey, what I'm going to talk about is mental health. I've been in mental health for many years. And we've got patients like borderlines, like to cut themselves.
Yeah.
Abuse. And I was wondering whether you have worked with any of them at all.
A lot of them. I'm sorry to say, a lot of them.
That's sad.
Such a popular thing right now. It really is. And
why did they do that, Kim?
So here's the thing, is that the alignment is off and the hard drive has become corrupt. It can be for many reasons. You know, usually it's I want to feel something. I wanted this and that. When you start to line that up, and these are the people that I see in person. I mean, this is, you know, this is very, very, very serious. And it is, I feel like, epidemic. I do believe it happens a lot more than people say. I know that my clients don't tell people about it. I know that a lot of my clients, parents have just found out about it, and that's when they bring them to me. So it really is a very, very big problem. They don't talk about it a lot in the media. I'm not sure why it's hush-hush. I certainly don't say a lot about it just because of my, you know, professional protocol, but it's a very real thing, and obvious because you know so much about it there, but it's a big deal. And so that alignment is off, and that injury to yourself goes against every single thing that your system provides for you. And so that is a corrupted hard drive for sure.
Next up, let's go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, Kimberly. About 15 years ago, I was in a horrible car accident, and I have a traumatic brain injury. Is there any way I can focus on my subconscious? Because the doctor said I lost 90% of my brains.
Well, so do you still dream, Jeremy?
Very, very often.
Very often. Okay.
Very often. Okay, yeah. So if you're dreaming, your subconscious is intact. And, you know, granted, even when someone is in a coma and they are unconscious, the subconscious is still there. That is the unconscious. So you don't have a conscious, but you have an unconscious, right?
And well, I remember dreams I was having from the 2.5 months I was in a coma.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yeah. So it sounds like you're very subconscious. That's delightful. So that's what you need to focus on for sure. Because, look, there are so many parts that rise to the surface. There are so many parts of us that when one part is depleted, the other part takes over. As we know, even from physical issues, if someone can't see, they can hear exceptionally well and vice versa. So it sounds like that actually did you the favor in the subconscious department.
That's amazing to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I can hear a lot of life in your voice. That's wonderful.
It's good luck, Jeremy. Keep doing what you're trying to do. That's the important thing. And how important is that too, Kimberly? People who just don't give up.
Oh, my goodness. That source of spirit, and that there is that part in the book, the soul spirit, that is your lifeblood. That is the lifeline. Jeremy has so much life in his voice. I can hear it, and I get chills listening to him, because that is the source of the well that keeps on giving. You know, you say your cup runneth over. Jeremy's for sure, because he's after it. I call them seeker, searcher, learners, and these are people that are meant to progress.
Next up, we go to Mohammed in Georgia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mohammed.
Hello. Good morning, George. I listened to your show long, long time.
Thank you, sir.
I love the show. And Ms. Kimberly, I respect you because, you know, once 1976, my brother one time, he came and he told me, oh, brother, I'm going to show you something you're never going to believe. And he hypnotized me. And after I was so much hypnotized, and he told me this, lot of things, long story short, and he became a doctor, and finally he's a psychiatrist, and he hypnotized all his patients before even he see, hypnotized them, then he treat the patient, and the patient become so good. And this hypnotism, a lot of people don't believe, but I practice myself too. So last time, 6 months ago, I went to a doctor to do my epidural injection in my back. And what I did, I don't follow the instruction. Morning, I ate a breakfast. And the doctor said, oh, sorry, we cannot do epidural injection for you this time. You have to come back. And I said, oh, doctor, why? Doctor said to me, because you eat it, we cannot give you epidural injection because we have to give you anesthesia. Then I said, doctor, I hypnotized myself. And he said, she believed me. You know, she was a woman doctor, orthopedic specialist. After I hypnotized myself, and doctor cannot believe. I don't feel any pain, anything. And after I just wake up myself too. So hypnotism is work. Plus I also telepathy myself. You know, I can telepathy from America to India or Bangladesh. My brother, he's in Bangladesh. I telepathy him and I said myself, call me back in my mind. So he called me and I said, you know, I was telepathing you.
Huh.
He said, oh, I understand. I understand you. You really did it. Also, I telepathy to my daughter. My daughter just became a doctor. She's an MD, PhD.
Good for you.
And I'm trying to teach her how to do hypnotism. And I telepathy her and she's surprised. Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she called me. She said, are you really doing a telepathy to me now? I say, yes. I want you to call me. That's why I did telepathy. So this science is real true.
I love it.
I am so happy. You know, George, you're doing a show with Miss Kimberly. This is awesome.
Thanks, Mohammed. Kimberly, self-hypnosis, how easy is that?
So self-hypnosis is great. And in fact, that is that dreamy state before you go to bed and as you wake up. So we are naturally inclined to do it. Our body goes into screensaver mode and our mind goes into screensaver mode so many times during the day naturally. That's that daydreaming. That's that drifting off. So I liken it to meditation in the sense that there's a zone period where meditation and the difference between would be meditation is you're zoning into breath and you're zoning into something. With hypnosis, you're actually zoning out. And so how many times do you catch yourself daydreaming? That's your own self-hypnosis going in without you even really realizing it until you're tapped in and you say, oh, I'm just literally on screensaver mode. You know, back to what Mohammed was saying, I have performed surgical hypnosis on people and clients, not during like things like kidney operations or anything like that, but facelifts, pure, you know, like a lot of cutting and a lot of everything, and that they chose not to go in under anesthesia. And there's a doctor in Beverly Hills that I was working with for many years, and it's amazing. It's the most remarkable thing. You can block those pain centers. It's absolutely a real thing he's speaking of.
Good point. Let's take another call or two while we have some time. We'll go to Renee in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Renee. Go ahead. Hello? Nope. Nobody there. Let's try Brian in Lafayette, Louisiana. Brian, you're there.
Hey, George.
There you are.
Yeah. I had a couple questions for you guys.
Sure.
For Kim. Let's see. What way does the subconscious consist of the conscious? I'm more in where the two meet in between, or when the two kind of meet in between when an individual is going through the process, and does complete integrity to will manifest in either or, and where would the searching for meaning lie between in between? And I guess I'll take my call offline. And it's my birthday today.
Well, happy birthday!
Oh my gosh, hey, it's my birthday today.
Oh, no
happy
way.
Birthday! Happy birthday to both of you. Thanks, Brian. Well, in terms of the conscious and the subconscious, where do they meet, Kimberly?
Right. So really anywhere that you are utilizing the two. So you can, it's that you inside of you that you notice. So even when you do a simple exercise like staring in the mirror at your own eyes. So if anyone's near a mirror or reflective surface, just look at your own eyes for a second. And when you see the you inside of you and you know, so you're addressing yourself with your own eyes, that's both a conscious and subconscious activity. You are aware that you're standing here looking at yourself, but you're looking at a part of yourself that is untouchable, untangible, and that's your insides. People refer to it as their soul, their spirit, the real them, their authentic self, their higher self. That's where the two shall meet.
Let's grab Clay in Memphis, Tennessee, while we have a minute left. Go ahead, Clay.
Hey, good to talk to both of you. A quick question, and you may have already covered this, but hypnotizing for things like smoking, cigarettes, and other nasty habits. Any success with those things?
Oh, my goodness. All success with those things. That is exactly where it is. That's the habitual addiction side. Just the it can be out of boredom. It can be out of, you know, anxiety. It can be out of anything. And all I do is I do aversion techniques. I put people on what I call Zombie Island. And Zombie Island is a place where nobody wants to be, even those people with the dainty teeth, those little creatures. Nobody wants to be there. And it's the most fabulous thing, because if you avert someone enough from the bad habit, they will not return to it. And I believe, it is my absolute belief, that the subconscious is the only real way to get to that. Consciously, we all know better. We all know that, you know, we've read the data, we've seen, it's a very well-studied science. But the fact that we return to it is back what the other person was saying about the fact that why do we do that? That's that part. And so the aversion technique works beautifully for that. It's in the book. You can read about it.
Kimberly, give out your website, if you would.
So it's KimberlyFriedmutter.com, and Friedmutter is FriedMutter. There's a newsletter sign up there, and then, of course, the book is available at all nationwide retailers and online.
Super. Thanks, Kim, for being on the program. Keep in touch with us, okay?
My pleasure.
We will be back with Energy Speaks. Lee Harris joins us on Coast to Coast AM.